planning on getting really excited today.
Uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Anyway, it was awesome to find out that, I mean, not like I found out this morning, but I found out a little bit ago, but to see that Rebecca's running the door now, in charge of our ushers, and stepped up. Larry did it for all those years, and did an amazing job, but has a job that limits his time. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. And so, yeah, another kind of just seemingly job. If you come here and you get greeted and you just think that those are just really nice people, they're actually organized and doing something and stepping up. And so we just appreciate. And there she is. Yeah, she's come back and kind of went, we love you, Rebecca. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for stepping up. Which, again, I'll do a little plug. If you are interested in helping our usher team, they always need help. Talk to Rebecca and she'll interview you and run you through the scrupulous process of becoming an usher. And but we'd love your help. The other thing is we had our first week on the course with BSSM and BSSD this week. So we did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, somewhere around a couple hundred students, something like that. And this starts our big week. And I wanted to appreciate first our facilitators. So if you're on staff, either facilitator or in the kitchen, would you stand up? Some of them aren't here, but some of them are. Would you stand up? Yeah. There's a couple on the back, a couple on the front, and a couple aren't here. But in case you haven't noticed, you can sit down. Thank you, guys. In case you haven't noticed, we have a team of people, some of which come in just for this season to help us do this. And some of them aren't here this morning. But some of them, they just move here just for this. And so just appreciate them. And we don't pay them a lot of money. And so if you want to feed them at any point, I'm sure that they would appreciate that. Invite them over for dinner and hang out with them. They're amazing people and they're a blessing to this church and to this program that we're running. And don't feed them spaghetti or tacos because that's what we're eating on a daily basis here for dinner. But anything but that is good. And then the other thing is we couldn't do what we do without one person in particular who has been running around like a headless chicken that still has its brain. And that is that's Tim. And so yeah. He's just doing an amazing job being everything to all the people that show up here. Over the course of the next, I don't know how many months, until hopefully we'll be done by Thanksgiving. Until then, he's here like all the time. Pretty much we don't even let him go home and until Saturday. He gets one day to go home. But pretty much he's here morning till night, 4 or 5 days a week. And pouring everything he's got into this. And that's a thank you to you too, Anna, for giving him to us for this season. But the benefits of the challenge course and the program, and it's almost immeasurable. And I'd encourage you, if you want to get into that more, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but where the influence and the effects of that here on our own property and our own people and all of that, but also just worldwide. And we heard amazing. I heard this amazing testimony. I'll share one testimony. There's tons more. This is just one that got back to me. That there was a young man that was here that was struggling with being attracted to same sex, and he had he's been struggling with it for years. And one of the things Tim does is in the morning that everybody comes in here and he asks them to just get with the Holy Spirit and ask, you know, what to expect for the day, and kind of just to listen to what God has for him. And one of the things in that time was a prayer that he would, that this year he would be able to get over this attraction that he had, and that he would have victory over this thing. And anyway, so he I don't know all the details because I heard it secondhand through his revival pastor, but basically his testimony that night that it through the, we do this double blind trust walk, which has a whole story in itself. But basically, they blindfold, they're people and walk around. And God just in that moment, so totally set him free. And he said that he, for years and years, has walked into church buildings, and he did that morning, has walked into buildings or walked into the presence of other believers with this heavy shame and this thing that's going on. And when he came back in, I don't even know if he realized what had happened, but then when he came in for dinner, he realized that had lifted and left. And I was just like, well, I heard it the next day, but just amazing. And I'll tell you, it's not us. Like, our program is not that good. It just really isn't. Like, we didn't prepare for that. There's no part in our program that has to do with that, or the million other things that the Holy Spirit does when people come. All we do is create room. All we do is create a space for people to meet with God and meet with themselves. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. So, again, thanks, Tim, for everything that you pour in and that you're going to pour in over the next couple months. And the other team, too. The rest of the team. Awesome. If you've been around for a couple years, you know we do this. If you haven't, you're new. This is a new thing, but we do like a lot of what happens during the week you guys don't get to see because you're doing what you do. And we're here doing what we do, and you don't get to run into all the things that are happening. But I would encourage you in the evenings, first call the office and get it scheduled. But we'd love for you guys to interact with the students that come here and to get to hear testimonies like that. And a lot of that comes out during dinner time. And so we set up this whole area, which we do every Sunday after church. We set up this whole area. Our kitchen crew cooks a wonderful dinner. And we can't feed all of you on the same night, but we can feed all of you over the next couple months. And so we'd love for you guys to take turns coming and just spending the evening with the students at the end of their day of programming and just get to hear what's going on. And so it helps you guys stay connected with them. It also, as beneficial, helps them connect with you guys. It helps them have a connection to Weaverville, to Mountain Chapel. They get to meet you guys and just connect. So I really encourage you guys to, over the next couple months, make time. And please don't just show up, though, because we do need a count. But to call ahead of time if you feel like, right, Denise, we need a count. The cooks will thank you for not just showing up. But please let us know that if you can be here, if there's a day of the week that works for you, even if it's 3 weeks away. And we'll write you down and expect you that way. Does that work? Okay. Cool. I do want to preach this morning for a little bit. So over the last few months, we've been with all this spare time. I wasn't just sitting at home staring at the walls. I did that sometimes, but a lot of time I was working on our house, remodeling our, or maybe just modeling. I don't know what. Anyway, putting together our master bedroom and bathroom. We've been living in our guest room for a while, or what will be a guest room. And I'm almost to the end. I'm tiling the shower, which is, anyway, it's a big deal. You guys aren't excited enough, but it's really a big deal. We're tiling the shower. This is a huge deal. And maybe I'll show some pictures of it at some point. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, so I'm tiling the shower, and now I'm not a tile guy. There's things that that I can do, and I can do some things. But I've done some tiling, but I don't consider myself a tile guy. But I consider myself pretty handy, I guess. But yeah, I found out that I'm not a tile guy. I was tiling. I've never tiled a window, so. There's a window in our shower. It's 2 feet by 3 feet. And it's in a concrete wall. And so the wall is like 8 inches thick and so you got to tile, you got to case out the window with tile, which is the neat looking stuff around the inside of the window that you see. And since it's in the shower and it's all tiled, the tile goes all the way into the frame, which means that there's some pieces of tile that end up upside down in the top of the window. Are you just picturing it? Like, so the inside is in the top part. So I've tiled some floors and stuff, which when you're tiling a floor, I know this would make sense to you because you're all smarter than me, but when you're tiling a floor, something helps you. Yeah, gravity. I never knew. I thought like that, that the stuff you put down holds the tiles, but actually gravity helps hold them down. And so I was tiling this window, and if you've ever tried, if you've ever been tiling and you make a mistake, I'm sure none of you guys would have this problem, but I've had a lot of practice pulling tiles back up again. And they seem like they're stuck really good. Like there's this sound of trying to get a tile up from with wet mortar underneath it. Anyway, and so as I'm sticking these up there, I'm thinking, I wonder if those will hold. And I'm thinking, yeah, of course they'll hold. That's like super sticky. And it's, and like they tile ceilings and stuff. I mean, it has to work, right? So, and it did work. And so I tiled it all. It looked all awesome. And then there's this little metal piece. And I don't want to give you too much information, but it has to be like, oh, it's perfectly aligned with these angles. And it's a horrible adventure. But anyway, it's all set and I get it all right. And it's like feeling like, yeah, okay, it's going to be there. And then I get the side one. It's kind of like goes up in a specific order the way every way you cut it. And so I'm in the shower. The shower is 5 feet by 3 feet. It's a big walk-in shower. And so it gets all set perfectly. And I'm like, cool. And so I take a step back. And I'm thinking, that looks pretty good. And I don't even get that whole sentence before the tile goes crashing down to the floor. Yeah, that's what I did. Oh, man, that was awesome. And I'm going to use that in my sermon. Yeah, it was just amazing. And I felt so stupid. And I learned a lesson about gravity. But right in front of me, the whole thing came crashing down. As I was stepping back to admire how amazing I was. Building things can be tricky, and being someone that's remodeled some stuff and not being a professional, you never know what you don't know. Unless you ask somebody, you have somebody handy, like Bobby or Stuart or Buck. There's a bunch of people that know stuff. And if you ask them and they give you the right information, either over the phone or text or whatever, then you can find out some things you don't know. But you still never know what you don't know. And so because of doing that, you oftentimes make mistakes. But then hopefully you learn. I've learned a lot about building. Building's a tricky thing. And I want to talk about building, not necessarily in the physical, but also in the physical. But if you want to turn your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, for most of you, I'm sure this will be a familiar scripture. Turn to Matthew 7:24. Now, to set this up a little bit, like I said, building can be tricky, and this isn't a lecture on building. This is actually, it will be a sermon, I hope, that we can take something out of. But some of us do build, some of us work on stuff. Most of us have projects going on somewhere or something, but all of us are building something. All of us are building a life. We're building a friendship, relationships. We're building a relationship between our kids, between our spouses. We're building. We're all building. We're all building something, a business. We're building a life. And just like life, oftentimes, or just like my windowsill, we oftentimes don't know what we don't know. And so we ended up trying things. We end up. And oftentimes when we're trying things and we don't know what we don't know, we do see failure, and some of it's small failure, and some of it's catastrophic failure, like my window frame falling in. And but the cool thing about being in church and actually building church together, building a church community together, is that we get to learn from each other's mistakes, and we get to hopefully learn from Scripture as we dig into some amazing stories and wisdom that Christ left us and the apostles left us through Scripture. And so the idea is that we learn the things that we don't know. And so we're all building this thing. We're all building this life. And this passage, we're going to be in Matthew 7. But some of you, probably most of you, have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is arguably the greatest sermon ever preached. And Jesus comes out of the desert. He comes out of, and he kind of enters into his ministry, so to speak, through this message. is basically his declaration of, this is what I'm here for. This is what I stand for. This is what I'm teaching. And there's the thing I love about this sermon is this teaching is a lot of the world, we're not necessarily going to talk about this, but a lot of the world, and especially the religious world, he turns on their head. And he completely changes the way that people thought their relationship with God should go. He was bringing and in the process of bringing the new covenant and teaching the new covenant. And so, anyway, at the end of this, he serves all kinds of amazing things, everything from money to fasting to he talks about worry, and he talks about love and murder and serving and prayer, all in connection with the kingdom. It's this amazing sermon, really. We could just, if that was the only section of the Bible we had, I think we could probably do okay. It's an amazing message. But at the end of this message, which is where we're going to just read a little bit here in 7:24. Right? Is that where I am? Yeah. It's there. Therefore, whoever hears, sorry, I got to get some light. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. How many of you guys want to be founded on the rock? How many of you have ever figured out in areas and corners of your building, so to speak, that when a storm comes and the flood and the wind and everything, you find out that you thought it was rock, but it actually was sand? Well, there's sand under there. I can actually see under part of my house now, and it's not being held up. I want to talk about this idea of building on the rock and the importance of it, and how is a church we can develop and actually discover and then learn the things we don't know. Are you with me? You okay? Okay. Jesus said that wisdom, in this passage, Jesus says that wisdom is the ability to combine hearing and doing. Right? It says, wise man is hears my words and does them. Basically, this is his cap. This is the end of his sermon. It's what he sends out all the people. He says, all these things I just said, I'll liken you to a wise man if you do them. If you hear everything that I said, if you take all of this stuff and then you implement it in your life. Remember last week we were talking about our identity and our destiny, or who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And one of the things to pull out of the scripture is that the scripture is about hearing and doing. The scripture is about hearing and doing, and out of hearing and doing we become. And it's cool that Jesus relates it to a man that builds his house, a wise man that builds his house on rock. And so why then? Now we know that hearing and doing is what makes you wise, and a wise man builds his house on the rock. But why did the wise man build his house on the rock? Why is that good? Firm foundation. Why do we need a firm foundation? Storms. That's right. Storms. Why did the wise man build his house on the rock? Because he knew that storms were coming. Because if you know storms aren't coming, sand is just as good as anything. It really is. If there's not going to be any flooding or winds or rain to wash the sand away, sand's great. Build your house anywhere, as long as it's always going to be sunny and beautiful and great. I want to propose to you that the wise man builds his house on the rock because he knows that there's storms. He knows that storms are coming, that rain are coming, that's part of what happens. I want to propose to you that a wise man builds his house on a rock because of storms. And that connects to that we actually build a foundation by, what did Jesus say? By listening and doing, because we know that storms are coming. Now, how many of you guys have ever tried to work outside in the pouring rain or in a storm? Yeah. It's sometimes fun for a little while, but it wears out pretty quick. You know, you got your new rain gear on and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah. By about 2 or 3 hours, you're like, I'm pretty much done. Add lightning to that and wind or snow. Oh, man. Cold in your fingers. Yeah. No fun. And so the point I was trying to make is that our foundation, we don't build usually within the storm. Normally, it's not the storm itself that verifies while we're building, oh, we should have some rock under here. Normally, when we're building, the time we choose to build, what's happening? It's sunny, usually. It's nice. It's right? Especially here, we have like an on and off season. Everybody does it, even if they're not contractors or builders. It's like there's a go season where we're cleaning up the yard and we're doing all the work because we know what? That the season changes. And that nobody wants to clean up whatever they got to clean up when there's 6 inches of snow on the ground. Doesn't make sense. And I want to propose to you that you're in one of two seasons. You're either in a building season or a storm season. In a storm season, I think the storm season was on this side. In a storm season, you're hoping you have a good foundation because you can see the water flushing by and you're inside. Remember, like, how many of you guys love this? It's funny because there's two ways that we look outside when the rain and the snow is falling. And they completely have to do with preparation. If you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, look at the beautiful snow and oh, it's so cool. And you get your coffee and you sit there and it's because you were prepared. If you wake up in the morning and go, oh, no, I didn't know it was going to snow last night. The weatherman was. It's because why? You weren't ready. And you probably left your firewood outside or your favorite tool is out on the ground or whatever it is that something got left outside. You left your windows down. Oh, I left my windows down last night. Right? You didn't prepare. It's not within the storm that we usually prepare. It's actually within the storm that we find out if we were prepared. So I want to propose to you that if you're in a storm, it's okay. Because all storms pass. And when the storm's over, you have a group of people around that will help you shore up the building, fix the places that got washed out, patch the roofs on the holes on the roof and get all cleaned up. You can rebuild. If you're not in the storm season, I want to encourage you, now's the time for building. Now's the time for finding the rock to secure your foundation. Jesus said that we do that by listening and doing. By hearing and doing. It's like a man that finds a rock for his foundation. Are you with me? You guys all right? You need some water? You could pass it around if you really want to. All right. I want to go after something that kind of came up in my own heart, and hopefully this makes sense. I can make it make sense, or at least do my best to lay it out for you guys so you can understand what I'm trying to say. But in this idea of kind of, we'll say, preparing, so to speak, there's kind of two trains of thought, two truths that are held in attention of kind of two theologies. If you ever heard that phrase, truth and tension, it means that we find scripture that there is truth. Excuse me. We believe that this is true, but then there's a tension. If you think of a pendulum, so to speak, that you can take that truth and then it can be bent one way or another. I'll show you hopefully what I'm trying to explain. But I believe this idea of building your house and the idea of that wisdom is knowing that a storm's coming is actually weighed. And how you guys hear and how we interpret are weighed by our theologies and what we believe to be true. And that there is a truth about this that's held in this tension that I'm going to point out to you. So, number one, the first kind of mindset which would be really close to probably what most of us believe, is that we have the power and the authority to rebuke the storm. So, you know, just simply calm the storm. Mark 4:35 and 41 is Jesus calming the storm. He goes out with the disciples and the storm comes up and the waves are crashing and the disciples are scared and they wake him up. He's asleep, right? And they wake him up and they go, "Don't you care if we're going to die? What are you doing, Jesus?" I don't know if they slapped him, but "Jesus, wake up." And he wakes up and he says, and he calms the storm. We get a storm. Shh, be quiet. The storm and the wind dies down and the waves die down. And then they're just like, "What's going on? How did he do that?" And he turns to me and says, "You have little faith." Amazing story. And we've heard messages, great messages, about authority and how Jesus gave us all authority on earth, and it was given to us to walk out the life of Christ as he did, showed an example. And so that there's this, the idea, the theology that we should be able to calm the storm. In fact, I think it's Bill that says that that you can have authority over any storm that you can sleep through. Something like that. That's not a quote, but something to that effect. And so, right, we've heard that message, or we like it, or we grab a hold of it because it's power and it's authority. The message of power and authority. And I believe that it's truth, that there's truth in that message. And we need to know our power and our authority. First and foremost, it's great and freeing for people that were raised in a church theology or a church culture that says that obedience is actually our highest calling. It's particularly empowering to that group of people. And if you were in that group where you were, or maybe you're just kind of, as I'm saying it, you're going, that might be me. I was actually raised in that culture. That was the church culture that I was raised in, where your greatest pursuit is that of obedience. That the best thing you can do is be obedient. And so this is a great freeing message to me, that actually there's power and authority actually too. And they come with and through obedience, but that there's a life of power and authority that I have access to because of what Christ did and that life, that freedom that he gave. And so it's really empowering for that group of people because they have a foundation built with obedience. Are you guys with me? Do you guys understand? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because that was you. You've been going to church for 35, 40 years, and you know all kinds of scriptures, and you know your foundation, and you know all these things, and you've been obedient for all this time. And so when someone tells you you have power and authority, you're like, wow, that revelation. On top, it's like, you know, it's like finding out that your house is bigger than you knew that it was. Well, I have all this extra room. That's amazing. It's like when you go into your attic and you thought it was just a little attic and it's a huge attic. We could build a whole nother room up here. You guys all right? Okay. It's like that, but better. The challenge is there's actually another group of people. There's a whole bunch of groups of people, but for the sake of this, we're going to just take two. And there's another group of people, and the other group of people are the people that didn't grow up building a foundation. They aren't the ones that grew up in going to Sunday school and learning all the Bible stories. They can't quote all the books of the Bible, and they haven't spent all the time in obedience building a foundation. And they hear the message of power and authority, and while it is true that they actually build, or they can build, their house on sand by faith. They build a house on sand by faith. It's one of the things that we're beginning to see. It's one of the pendulum swings that we're beginning to see out of raising a generation that is empowered. Yeah, that's empowered also. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah. Don't say it. Just, and I'm done. See, it's a little bit challenging, this, the idea that we are to rebuke storms. While I believe, again, I want to go back and I want to say that I believe that that's true. I believe the power and authority that Jesus showed us, a life that is available to us. And so power and authority is something that is available. However, I still believe that Jesus also said that a wise man builds his house on the rock. Well, a wise man will only build his house on a rock as if he knows that there's storms. Whether or not you combine the two, whether or not he can't, there's storms you can't rebuke, whether or not there's whatever, he knows that there's storms. And I just want to propose to you that standing in one place, holding on to one theology, will build you a house on sand by faith. Are you guys following me? And that I believe we just have to be aware of where we are. If you're in the place where you're like, any storms that are going to come, I'm just going to rebuke them. I walk in power. Those are good things. But don't forget, don't step so far out that you're away from or that you neglect building a foundation. If that's you. If you have a really strong foundation, you're like, my foundation is bigger than my house. That's great, because you got to start with the foundation. Are you guys all right? Sorry, I keep asking. You're really quiet. There's a fine line between, we like what you're saying, we have no idea what you're saying. From up here, it looks the same. Your faces are like the same. So, yeah, concentration and confusion, they look the same. They're the same thing. So I'm just double checking. I know it's okay if you're on both sides or whatever. I don't. It's all right. Me too. All right. The second. So that's one thing. The idea that we have authority to rebuke storms. There's truth in that. That's a theology that is founded in truth in Scripture. The other side of that is one we've experienced probably too, is that storms come from Christ to test us, come from God to test us. Yeah, it's funny that everybody's like, our culture, you can see our culture, you throw that out there and we have a culture that actually, we don't like that. The challenge is, I'll go back to our original scripture, is that a wise man builds his house on the rock. Why? Because storms are coming. And here's what I want to say about the storms and because the challenge is, if you grab a hold of that theology that storms are from God, you end up and you follow it as far as the rabbit hole goes. You can find tons of scripture that will support that and tons of scripture that don't. And that support the other side. But the idea being that if you follow that, you're going towards a fatalistic mindset that poverty and sickness and calamity and flat tires, that they all come from God, that God gives it to me because he's testing me or directing me. And really, there's not a whole lot of scripture, I don't believe, to back that up. The idea or the context that the theology that God tests us is Scripture. Deuteronomy talks about God using people and saying things. And I'll tell you where it is, just so you don't have to believe me. Deuteronomy 13. I'm not going to read it, but read it. It talks about that God tests us to see how much we love. And so the idea that God tests is there. Whether or not we believe that storms are from God or that he allows them to happen, really, I think in the end, as long as you're not moving towards fatalistic things, ideologies and theologies, what matters is actually storms come. They just come. Storms are part of life. And so what we do with the storms is what actually matters. What we actually do with them. What happens when the storm comes? What happens when the floodwaters come? What happens when... And what I've realized, and probably you have too, is that actually being prepared for the storm takes work. Building your house on the rock. The difference between building your house on the sand and the rock is usually work. It's usually work. In Luke, when the story is told, it actually says that the wise man digs down deep to find rock to build his foundation on. There's extra work. Meaning that there's to get from to here where the sand or the soft ground is, to get down to the rock, there's excavating and all this time before it's even built to make sure that we're building in the right spot on the right type of ground, the bedrock. And that really that's kind of my message. Is that building on the rock takes work. Building on the rock takes work. And I want us to be a church of power and presence and relationship, but also be a group of people that are willing to do the work it takes to build on solid rock. One of the things, thank you. I'll throw out a couple of verses because, sorry, my throat's kind of bugging me. James, first of all of James. All of James is all about like going through trials and tribulations and what we do. And there's an awesome passage in there about all good things come. And there's a really good passage about, I'm not even going to try to quote it. Just read for James. But about faith and perseverance and that perseverance matures us. And it doesn't say that it's from God. In fact, it says that only good things come from God. But how many of you guys know that God's good things and our good things aren't always the same? Yeah. Anyway, that's another message. But James, read James. If you don't have a place you're reading in your time, get your Bible. Get a Bible. Read James. It's awesome and encouraging. And the goodness of God. And of course, Romans 8:28, all things work. And that includes all things. The rain, the floods, the storm. It doesn't mean that God sent it. It doesn't mean that that He necessarily allowed it, even though that's a whole other theological debate. But the fact is that God uses all things to work together for those that love Him. And that's truth. And then reading on in Romans 8, again, just amazing, encouraging passages of Scripture that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that includes everything. That includes everything. The wise man knows what he's building. He knows the material that he's building on will last through a storm. That was awesome.
Preaching one Sunday.
Faith does not say that there's no storm, but faith does say that my foundation will last the storm. In 1 Peter 2, there's a cool series of verses. Again, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it for you, but you can dig in there. 1 Peter 2, and it talks about Christ being the cornerstone, if you've read that verse. But in the same verse, it also talks about the cornerstone rejected is actually Christ as a stumbling block. And I want to propose to you, depending on how you use your revelation, depending on how you walk out your revelation, it depends on whether Christ is the building block or the stone that you trip over. It places Him, it's the idea that places Him in your life. Where you place Him. And that Christ in your life will either be the thing that you build on or the thing that you constantly trip over. Are you still alive? All right. And then James, back to James 1, 24. Just again, like I said, read James. But it talks about being a doer of the Word. And that, that we need to be a doer of the Word. I'm going to read that one, actually. This is one, and we'll start just in 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I know we're hearers. If there's one thing that, like,
yeah.
That's not true. I won't even start that sentence that way. There is one thing that impacted me over the last 2 months or so of being at home about half of the Sundays, 4 or 5 Sundays we're at home, maybe 6 Sundays we're home, is that there is a plethora of hearing that you can do. You could, literally, there's enough good messages online. I think you could listen to one 24 hours a day and not run out. That's more doing than I can do. I figure an hour message is more doing than I can do. But I started realizing that, like, one of the things that I felt like drew me back, and like, and I'm excited to get back, was that I was tired of hearing and not doing. And it didn't mean I stopped hearing. It just meant that, like, I actually really enjoy preaching. I really enjoy watching. I really enjoy watching what happens with the course and working and seeing. I love seeing lives grow and change and discipleship. And I really enjoy all that doing. And I realized I started getting, even in just that the moment of, I started hearing so much that I forgot what I heard the 2 weeks before. I'd take notes on my phone. And I look back, just like 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe. And I didn't even remember. I heard like an awesome message and I didn't even remember it. It didn't get anywhere to doing until I went back. It was completely gone. I went back and I looked at my notes and I was like, man, that was such an amazing word. And we're in a time in our history, the world's history, where we have so much to hear. There's so much good stuff to hear. So much good stuff to hear. I think I'm just a little bit aware, at least in myself and of the church culture, that I want to be careful that we don't become hearers and forget about doing. Because oftentimes we can spend an hour hearing, and instead of going out and doing what we just heard, we could spend another hour hearing. Like, man, that was so good. That made me feel so good. I think I'll do that again. Man, and that one was really good. And that made me feel good. And I think I'll do that again. But there's something about doing. A wise man knows that storms are coming, and so he finds the rock to build on. He finds it. He digs down deep. He does the work to develop a foundation that prepares for storms. Not that it's not fatalistic, but there is some realistic in it. Now, if you're constantly always preparing for Y2K, that don't use this message to support, that would be like a complete, that would be the other side of like, bad's coming. You end up with only a foundation. And then you end up with a hole in the foundation, and then you cover yourself up and you just live in a concrete box. And you end up, you can't do anything down there because no one even knows you're there, you're hiding. That's a different message again, sorry. That was a bonus. That's a free one. We have to develop our ability to hear and do. I think we're getting pretty good at hearing. I think that we need to get better at doing. I want to encourage you, and this is an encouragement. Sometimes challenges can be discouraging if you don't feel like you have the power to do it. Does that make sense? But I believe you have the power to do this, so it really is supposed to be an encouragement. I want you to just take some time over however long it takes, but begin to go over what you know that you haven't done yet. What do you know that you haven't done yet? I did this just this last week, and probably four or five things came up in my head that, like, I learned that, and it's not fully activated in my life, in my process, in the way I think, in the way I actually do things. But it was a good idea when I heard it, and it's still a good idea. It was true then, it's true now, but it doesn't actually help build my foundation until I'm doing it. Makes sense. I just got this funny picture, and we'll end with that. When you hear things, it's on the top of your head. Your head. I'm just going to go for it. Now we have, nowadays, over the last, I don't know how many hundreds of years, we've had concrete, but we actually have portable rock, right? So you can pretty much build anywhere. I mean, there's places you can't build, but we have portable rock. And when I think about hearing, I think about receiving concrete. And then we put, if you only receive it in your head, you get really top heavy. That's the picture I got. It's like, and so you just have to put it down. You just have to get rid of it. Like, oh, I can't carry that. It's like what I was saying, that like 2 weeks ago, I heard a really awesome message. It hasn't affected me at all because I just couldn't carry it in my head. But doing it is the process of taking it from your head and putting it into your foundation, where you no longer carry it around. You walk on it. It actually decides where you can go. It determines the size of your influence, the size of your... Does that make sense? That picture makes sense? Or is the tile falling off the walls now? No, good. So yeah, that's my challenge, is just to begin to process with the Holy Spirit. Don't do it alone. It's scary to go inside alone. Don't do that. Scary place. If you don't go inside with the Holy Spirit, where He's encouraging and loving and telling you it's going to be okay... It's like, it's not good. Don't do that. But go inside with the Holy Spirit and say, what are the things I've learned that I'm not doing? Convict me, Lord. Not convict me, neighbor, or convict me, myself. Convict me, Lord, of the things that I know that I'm not doing. The things that I've learned, the things that I've heard that I haven't applied to my foundation. And then help me. Help me take the concrete off my head and put it under my feet. All right, will you guys stand with me? It's all right. Static. It happens when you all stand up at the same time. I know it's weird. We tried to figure it out, but we can't stop it. One of the things is to do what I'm asking you to do. And obviously you can accept it or not accept it or say, forget it. But to do what I'm asking you to do, to go to really kind of inventory. What have I heard? What have I learned that I haven't applied? It takes courage. It really does. And then it takes strength to apply it. It takes strength to actually change the way you're thinking, to change the way you're acting, to change the way you're behaving, in order to solidify your foundation with Christ. And so I want to pray for those two things, bravery and strength, or courage and strength. Yeah. And so if you are feeling like you're in that spot, just put your hand on your heart, and I'm just going to pray for you. Yeah, Lord, we all just pray for, we pray for courage. It's sometimes tough to go inside with you, Lord, to open ourselves up to you, I just pray for courage on this group of people, that we begin to process and go back through the things that the amazing truths that have been poured into us from leadership or teachings or things we've heard or whatever, those truths that are kingdom truths that we have yet to do, that we've yet to apply to our lives. Lord, I pray you'd give us courage. And then, Lord, as we discover those things with you, I pray that you would give us creativity, you would give us boldness, you'd give us strength to actually do the things we've heard. to apply the things we've heard, that they would change the shape and the stability of our foundation, and in turn prepare us for any storms that come. That we would have faith in that foundation that we've built together, that you've built in us. And Lord, I pray that when storms come, we can look out the window and know by faith that we're standing on rock, that we're built on rock, because we've heard and we've done. In Jesus' name. Amen.